My question to you is this. Do you want Trinity Baptist Church to be an encouraging church? Do you want this to be a place where when you walk in those doors, or that door, I suppose, when you walk in those doors, you know that even though you've had a difficult week spiritually, perhaps a difficult day, perhaps a difficult month, perhaps a difficult year, where you know that when you walk in that door, your brothers and sisters will encourage you, do you want to be a part of that type of church? I do. I want to talk to you about encouragement this morning from the Word of God. Encouragement. You should have notes in your bulletin. We're going to look at the Greek word for encouragement. The Greek word for encouragement, but first we're going to pray. Would you please join me? Would you pray right now that the Word of God would encourage you today? Just pray that for yourself. Just pray that the Word of God would encourage you today. Now would you pray for the people around you, that the Word of God would encourage them today? Now please pray for me, that I would teach the truth today. The truth will encourage you. I don't need to dress it up with a fancy presentation or with a bunch of stories. The truth by itself will encourage you. Please pray that I would teach that truth today. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's two Greek words quickly. The Greek word for encouragement, this is on the back of your notes. The Greek word for encouragement is paraklesis. Paraklesis. It's two words. Para. It's two a prefix and a suffix. It's one word, paraklesis. And the word to encourage is parakaleo. Parakaleo. Para means beside. Kaleo means to call. Para means beside, and kaleo means to call. It literally means to call beside or to call alongside. And this beautiful word is used over 100 times in the New Testament. It is a very important word. It's used over 100 times in the New Testament, and it's not always translated with the English word encourage. So I want to show you how it's used, and we can learn about it. It's used basically three ways in the New Testament. Number one, it is used to ask for help. To ask for help. Example behind me on the screen, Matthew 8, 5, and 6. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him imploring, parakaleo, imploring him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. He was imploring him. The second way it's used, very, very common and important way, is to urge or exhort someone to action. To urge or exhort someone to action. Example, Acts 2:40 behind me on the screen. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting, parakaleo, kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. He was calling to them and saying, be saved from this perverse generation. When you point out some sin in the life of a brother or sister and you urge them to repent, you are encouraging them in the biblical sense. When you urge someone to repent of their sin, you are encouraging them in the biblical sense. Acts 11:23. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Isn't that what we need from each other? We need to be encouraged. I need you to encourage me to remain true to the Lord. And you need each other. Amen? The third way it's used is to comfort someone. To comfort someone. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced. Whoa, I made a mistake there. I'm sorry? What's the next slide, Jessica? The slides are off. Okay, go back to that one. That's actually Acts 11:23 behind me. Proves why you need your own Bible in your lap. Amen? Thank you, Jessica. See, Jessica and I worked that out as a powerful illustration. Here is 2 Thessalonians 2. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. You don't have it on the screen. I'll read it again. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good word and work. Amen? Beautiful. Here is a biblical definition of encouragement. This is number one in your notes on the front side. Biblical encouragement is the loving act of urging someone to keep going and growing in their walk with God. Biblical encouragement is the loving act of urging someone to keep going and growing in their walk with God. Is that what you need from your brothers and sisters? Is that what you need from your brothers and sisters? Yes, it is. And that's what I need from you. That's what I need from you. Okay, let's talk about encouragement. Let's learn some things about encouragement. Number two in your notes, the Holy Spirit is the ultimate encourager. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate encourager. Acts 9:31 behind me on the screen. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. This is the same Greek word. Parakaleo is to encourage. Parakalesis is encouragement. And this is parakletos, the encourager. The encourager. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate encourager. Number three in your notes, the Word of God is the ultimate message of encouragement. The Word of God is the ultimate message of encouragement. Romans 15:4-5. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The Scriptures give us encouragement. The Scriptures give us hope. Brothers and sisters, are you stressed out? Are you discouraged? Do you need encouragement? Do you need hope? The Scriptures were given to you for your encouragement. They are a gift of God to you. Do not be like the people in the book of Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah cried out in his day. And through Jeremiah, God said this to his people. He said this in Jeremiah chapter 2, 13. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And they have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. We learned in Sunday school today that Jesus Christ is the source of physical life and spiritual life. And our hearts go out to you today if you're discouraged and defeated and depressed and struggling in life so much, and you're reaching out for everything except the Bible. You're reaching out for everything except Jesus. And we're reminded in the Scriptures that Jesus Christ is the living water, and everything else is a broken, leaky, dry cistern. It is an absolute dead end that holds no water. Trinity Baptist Church, if you're discouraged and dejected and defeated and depressed, turn to the living water for your encouragement and forsake everything else. And you will see that the Scriptures are the ultimate message of encouragement. What is the purpose of encouragement? Number four in your notes. The purpose is to help people forsake sin and embrace holiness. This is very important. The purpose of encouragement is to help people forsake sin and embrace holiness. Hebrews 3:13 is behind me on the screen. But encourage one another day after day as long as it's called today. Why? Why do we need to encourage each other? It says it right there. So that none of you are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This is why watching church online will not work. There's great sermons out there, and you can listen to 50 sermons online today, and they will be more professional, and they will be smarter, and they will be better than anything you will ever hear me say. You're not going to hear Dave Gordon preaching online. I'm simply not talented enough to do that. But what you will miss is you will miss each other. You will miss each other. If you're listening to a sermon online, there's no one there standing next to you to say, Dave, remain true to the Lord, forsake your sin, and embrace holiness. There's no brother or sister to hold you up. You got to come to church. I've told this illustration to the youth group many times, but in Alaska, there is a place called the Turn Again Arms. And it's a place where it's like a beach. It's like a beach. And the water is here, and the beach is here, and it looks like a normal beach. It looks like sand, but it's Alaska, people. It's Alaska. It's not sand. It's glacier silt. And you go out there and you get stuck in there, and it's kind of like quicksand. And people don't see it. People don't recognize it. And the Word of God says that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And that's what he does to you and to me, brothers and sisters. He disguises himself as an angel of light, and he comes with temptation, and it looks like this beautiful beach that's a lot of fun, but you get out there on a quad or an ATV or a motorcycle, and you're dead. It's like quicksand. And I need you to look at me and say, Dave, what you're doing looks wise to you, but it's quicksand. Come out. Remain true to the Lord. You need me to do that for you, and I need you to do that for me. That's the purpose of encouragement. Number five in your notes. We must comfort one another in time of need with the comfort we receive from God. We must comfort each other in the time of need with the comfort that we receive from God. Look at this beautiful verse behind me on the screen, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Look at all the words parakaleo. Look at it, it's four times in this passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. That's who we serve. The God of all comfort, that is who we serve. And he comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. How wonderful. You're going through a trial right now. God is there to comfort you. God is there to teach you. God is there to train you. God is there to give you his word. God is there to transform you and bring you out of that and use that trial to make you the godly man or woman he wants you to be. And I guarantee you, when that happens to you, there will be a brother or sister going through the same trial that needs you. That's how it works. God comforts us so we can comfort others. Would you please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? This won't be behind you on the screen. First Thessalonians 5:11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Once again, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, and look at what he's urging you to do. Admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak, be patient with all men. Admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Isn't that awesome? Many of you are faint-hearted. You're trying to live for God, and it's hard. And your church must come to you with kindness and comfort and encouragement. That is our job. But what do we come to you with? We come to you with what we have received from God. We come to you with what you have what we have received from God. When I am in a crisis, I seek the comfort of godly people because they comfort me with godly comfort. They comfort me out of the riches of their walk with God, and they comfort me out of the riches of their knowledge of the Word of God, and they comfort me from the comfort of the Holy Spirit within them. And that is very, very important. Two questions for you. Number one, when you are in trouble, when you are in a trial, when you are discouraged, who do you turn to? Do you turn to godly people? Because what you need is godly comfort. Question number two. Are you filled with the Word of God so that when you come here on Sunday and your brother or your sister needs godly comfort, are you in a position to give it? because every single person, especially me, who has walked into this sanctuary today, no matter who you are, no matter what you face, no matter what trials you've walked in here with, what you need is God's perspective on your situation. That's what you need. And that's what we have to be completely committed to giving one another. Acts 14:21, behind me on the screen. After they'd preached the gospel, so that city had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Number 6 in your notes. Love is the motive for encouragement. Love is the motive for encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 is behind me on the screen. Just as you know that we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each of you as a father would his own children. This is Paul to the Thessalonians. And he says in chapter 2, he says, I came to you as a father comes to you with his own children. I loved you so dearly. You were dear to my heart. I shared my life with you, and that's why I came to you to encourage you. I remember when I was a boy, my dad would sit down with me and he'd urge me to stay close to God. He'd urge me to stay pure in my dating relationships. He'd urge me to avoid temptation. He'd urge me to choose my friends wisely. He poured out his heart to me on these things. And he did it because he loved me. He did it because he loved me. And this is the call of the pastor and the elders at Trinity Baptist Church. Our job is to encourage you. And we do it because we love you. That's the motive. We do it because we love you. Look at what Paul said to Timothy, the pastor at Ephesus, 1 Timothy 4. Until I come, Pastor Timothy, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, parakaleo, and to teaching. Preaching is a way to encourage. And that's obviously the job of the elders. Preaching is the way to encourage. 2 Timothy 4:1-2, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, parakaleo, exhort with great patience and instruction. The job of the elders is to encourage you. It pains us when you fall into sin. It pains us when you fall into sin. And didn't Paul talk about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? It's behind me on the screen. He says this. Apart from such, Paul was talking about all of his trials and all of his tribulations and all that he had suffered for the kingdom of God. And he says, you know what my greatest, greatest trial is above all that? Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without me being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? The Greek word intense concern literally means to burn, to be set on fire. And Paul says, I've struggled with all these things, but you know what? Apart from all that, when I hear of a brother or sister falling in sin, I burn on the inside. And this is the heart of your elders. And we hope it is your heart for us. We hope it is your heart for us. We are just men. We are dust. And we are tempted in every temptation that you face, we face it too. And unlike the Lord, we fall into that temptation sometimes. We give in. And I hope that when you see that, you burn. Because when we see you sin, we burn. And when an elder comes to you, if we're too hard, if we're too judgmental, forgive us. We burn. When you fall into sin, we have intense concern. And we can't sleep. And we pray, and we talk, and we pray some more, and we try to handle it as best we can, but we're just men. Number 7 in your notes. God is the source of encouragement. God is the source of encouragement. Paul in Philippians, he says, if there is any encouragement from being with Christ, then make my joy complete by being of the same mind and maintaining the same love. And he knows that there is a ton of encouragement by being in Christ. There is great encouragement by being in Christ. In fact, is there any encouragement apart from Christ? Michael Tyler in Sunday school today made an excellent point. He talked about Peter, and he talked about how Jesus was teaching this really hard teaching, and all the crowds were walking away. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, are you guys going to go too? And Peter said, there's nowhere else to go. We can't walk away. There's nowhere else to go. Peter, because of the illumination of the Holy Spirit, knew that the road from earth to heaven is one-way street. It's one way. There's only one road. And Peter found that out. And Jesus looks at Peter and said, are you leaving too? And Peter says, there's no other roads. I can't leave. This is the only way to go. God is the source of encouragement. And my heart for you, brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist Church, is that you will look in many different places for encouragement, and you will get to the end of your life and you'll say, those were all dead ends. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6:13. Hebrews 6:13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Doesn't that make sense? He's got no one to appeal to. He swears by himself. He says, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, Abraham obtained the promise. Men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is the end of every dispute. Doesn't that make sense? He's talking about Bible times, and he says, when men want to confirm something, when they want to end the dispute, they swear by someone greater. Swear by the governor, or swear by the king. And that's the end of the dispute. God wants to end the dispute today. Verse 17, in the same way, just like that, God, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Mel Gerard passed away a couple weeks ago. And he has this wonderful booth at the fair, and it says, look at the three things that God cannot do. And you open up door number two, and it says, lie. Lie. God cannot lie. Can I go out on a limb and say Satan can't tell the truth? God cannot lie. We, brothers and sisters, we who have taken refuge in Jesus Christ have what? Strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, who where Jesus has entered as a foreigner for us, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. We have God's promises of eternal salvation. Michael said it at 9 o'clock today. All those who look to the Son and believe in him will have eternal life. And I will raise them up on the last day. It's a promise, and you can count on it. And that's the reason we're encouraged. Amen. I want to close showing you something from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, you can turn there if you want. But look at this. Here's a verse we often pull out of context. I've done it. Maybe you've done it too. You have a friend who isn't coming to church in a long time. He hasn't come to church for weeks or months, and you're worried about his or her spiritual growth. And you say, oh, brother, oh, sister, Hebrews 10:25 says what? Not forsaking together the assembling of ourselves, as is the habit of some. You got to come to church for your own spiritual walk. As true as that is, that's not what this verse is saying. Look very closely. Look very closely. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you see the opposite? The command is to encourage one another. The opposite is to forsake the assembly. The writer of Hebrews is saying, you need to come to church to encourage your brothers and sisters. That's why you need to be here. That's why you need to be here. Because your brothers and sisters need you. That's why we assemble together, is to encourage each other. So, brothers and sisters, do not forsake the assembly. Don't forsake it. 9 a.m. Sunday morning, Michael Tyler, John chapter 7. 10:30 Sunday morning, David Gordon, overview of the book of Mark. Monday night, Michael Tyler again. He's working hard. I hope you're praying for him. Monday night, Michael Tyler again, Transforming Grace. Tuesday morning, Gail, correct, Gail? Tuesday morning, Gail, Book of John. Thursday night, youth group, if you're a youth or a leader. Don't forsake the assembly, because your brothers and sisters need you. And when you come here to assemble, whether it's Sunday morning or Thursday night or any other time, be ready to encourage your brother and sister, because I guarantee you they need you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for encouraging us. And we pray that you'd build us into an encouraging church. In Jesus' name, amen.